Phoenix Rising family, we're dusting off the decks, tuning up the mics, and rolling up our sleeves for the 2023 USL Championship season with Phoenix Rising FC. We're here for another season, another thrill ride, so bring your chants, bring your cheers, bring your energy, and Phoenix Rising FC will bring the excitement and the drama they always do. I didn't plan to be back for another season with the Fan Experience podcast because I felt that the Phoenix Rising story that I captured from 2018 to 2022 had reached its conclusion. Those were the years when Rick Shantz led Phoenix Rising as the head coach, and when he parted ways with the team, I felt like the story had been told. We had fantastic highs, lots of them, and we had our share of lows and disappointments, all of which combined to create an incredible story. Phoenix Rising, the Rick Shantz years, we had an absolute blast. As a new season begins, we're ready to embrace a new story with new faces, new heroes, new villains, and new rivalries. It's a new era with our new head coach, Juan Guerra, who rebuilt the team during the offseason with a host of new players, and we look forward to supporting them in the new stadium in downtown Phoenix. There will be drama, there will be stories, and I'm here to live them with you and share them with you, so let the fun begin. Over the last few days, I spoke with Juan and had a great chat with him that I'm excited to share with you. Juan talked in depth about the roster. He answered questions that you, the Phoenix Rising fans and supporters, sent me. And he talked about himself, about growing up in Venezuela, playing the beautiful game on several continents, and receiving the highest honor of representing his country on the field. He talked about coming to the US, making the transition from player to coach, and he talked about his goals for the 2023 season with Phoenix Rising. In today's episode, I'll play part one of that interview so that we can get to know the team, become familiar with their names, their roles, and why they were selected. I'll have part two of the interview next week, along with a preview of the first home game of the season. Before we get to part one of the interview with Juan Guerra, I want to take a minute to remember our friend, the iconic Phoenix Rising supporter Brian Dozier, who passed away in December of 2022. Brian came on the show in episode 43 to talk about his fan story, and I absolutely loved having him on. You might not have known him personally, but you've seen him in the stands and on a lot of Phoenix Rising photos and videos as he cheered from the supporters section dressed in a cape and wearing an LED mask over his face. Brian, we miss you. We send you love and light, and we know that you'll be in the stadium with us for the first game. I'll be watching out for you. You can hear Brian's fan story in episode 43 of this podcast. Jump to timestamp 34 minutes and 43 seconds. You'll be glad you did. Brian, my friend, we dedicate this episode to you. Phoenix Rising family, thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
All right. This is Brian, aka the Mass Maniac from Union 602. And you are listening to the Fan Experience.
Phoenix Rising family, we have a very special guest on today's episode of the Fan Experience. It's Phoenix Rising's head coach, Juan Guerra. Juan, thank you for coming on the show.
Niall, thank you so much for the invitation. I'm looking forward to our talk.
Awesome. My first question for you is about the preseason. The team traveled to Mexico City, where we were hosted by one of Mexico's most celebrated clubs, Pumas. Sounds like a fun trip. How did it go, Juan?
Yes, it was incredible. It was very good to build good relationships, to start building bridges between two very strong organizations in soccer, especially in North America and in Mexico. And it was important. It was important for us to spend time together, which it was the most important thing that we requested when we were building the team. It was something that we asked the ownership group. We said, guys, we're going to have 17 to 18 new players. We have to spend time together. So we got to make sure that we find the right place to go where we can play games, where we can train, and also allows us the opportunity to spend time together in a place that we can enjoy. So Mexico gave us the opportunity to do all of those things, and it was very important. Now we're looking forward to hosting Pumas now in a near future. Hopefully they come to us. and they're going to be here probably mid-year. And then next year, hopefully, we're looking forward to going over there again. As I said, this is about building relationships and doing things the proper way.
Amazing. It must have been a real thrill for all the guys to get down there and to see that amazing stadium that they have. But getting closer to home, the Phoenix Rising Stadium, it's moving from the tribal lands over there at the Gila River Indian Community, which is about 30 minutes from downtown Phoenix. It's moving to downtown Phoenix. So how's the stadium build coming along, Juan?
We're very, very close. It's in home opener. It's pretty much in a week and a half, and we're so excited. I was talking to the players today, and I'm sure they felt how emotional I was when I was talking to them this morning about what it is to play in Phoenix and what it is to play in front of our supporters and our crowd, and how important and how supported they were going to feel next week. I told them that this is special, and it's completely. There's not another team in this league that has that, and they have to enjoy it. They have to embrace it. And most importantly, because of the results that we've gotten in the first two games, now we have the ability to give back to our supporters and our fans that have been with us since this process started, that has supported us when we went to Charleston, because there were Phoenix Rising supporters and fans that made the trip to Charleston. There were a lot of supporters that made the trip to San Diego last week. And now we have a huge opportunity to make sure that we can put in a very good performance that leads to a good result in our home opener in a new stadium in front of our fans that are going to support us for 90 plus minutes.
Totally, totally. We're so much looking forward to it. Is the stadium going to be ready?
Yes, the stadium is definitely going to be ready. We need to play the game. And the organization, the ownership group, Bobby, they've been working so hard to make sure that the stadium is not just ready, is that we can provide a fan experience that it's important. They've been listening in the offseason to what the supporters needed and what they want. And now they just want to make sure that they are giving back. Like I said before, us giving back to our supporters is about not just the players, not just the technical staff, but also the front office and the organization. At the end of the day, this club belongs to their supporters. This club belongs to our fans. And we just have to make sure that while we're here, we're protected and we give back to you guys as much as we can.
Awesome. Awesome. So looking ahead to the 2023 season, Juan, how do you think the schedule shook out for us? One thing that is of note is that really early on, we've got this bye week. And I was thinking, whoa, if I was playing, I'd prefer to have my bye week mid-season sometime, especially in Phoenix when it's going to be so hot. You know, I want to have some time off there. So just what are your thoughts on the schedule overall?
I would agree with you. I think you're spot on. But also it's one of those that life's not perfect. And if I've learned something also in this profession is that how do you plan things? Usually they never go 100% the way you plan them because there's always some challenges on the road. And for example, for us, it's the stadium being built and then also some injuries that we have currently with the team, some personal situations that we have with some players. So I will say that not playing this weekend, also Kev being with the national team with Jamaica. So us not playing this weekend actually plays in our favor because it gives us a week to recover some of the injured players that we have. It gives the ownership group and the front office another week where they can, full steam, keep working on the stadium and make sure that everything is ready for us and the supporters in another week. And I think, looking at it today, I think it worked out. It worked out for us okay. And then we'll see. We'll see how it is moving forward. And like I was telling you earlier, the point of the dots connect backwards. So then we can talk in December and start connecting the dots and see if it was a right move or not.
Right. Great. Okay. You ready to talk about the roster?
Sure. Let's go.
Okay. So we've got two options for goalie. We've got Rocco Rios Novo and Patrick Rukowski. So tell us about those two keepers.
So Rocco is a young goalkeeper from Argentina. He was born in the U.S. He has an American passport. Last year, he was with Atlanta United. And listen, man, he's done all the youth national teams in Argentina. So he's a very huge, high prospect in Argentina. He's on loan with us. We're very, very happy to have him. And so far, I mean, he's been the one that's starting for us. Patrick is a more veteran goalkeeper. I mean, he's German. He has a green card because he married his wife from the U.S. He's won in the past with Orange County, so he understands what it is to win and how difficult it is to win. And I think both of them complement each other very well. Both of them are very good with his feet, which it fits very well to the way we want to play. And at the end of the day, I think Rocco being a bit more naive because of his youngness and how young he is and how brave he is to try to play out of the back, help us in our game model. But Patrick being more of a veteran goalkeeper and understanding when to take risk and when not to take risk gives us a bit more of a balance, and it helps Rocco as well. So I think Rocco is going to push Patrick because he's gonna be a bit more, because of his youngness, he's going to be more intense, and he's gonna try more difficult things because he hasn't gotten burned before being so young. Patrick being more veteran and a bit more, used to and living a bit more than playing more minutes at the pro level are going to help Rocco also mature quickly.
Great. Let's get on to our back line. What's going on with our friend Niall Dunn?
Niall's, sadly, he's injured at the moment. Something in one of his toes. So he's in a boot, and he'll be in a boot, at least, I think, for another week. And then after that, he should be able to start training with the team again.
Okay. Best wishes to Niall. Alejandro Fuenmayor.
So Ale is a player that comes from the last process that we had in Oakland. He's a guy that we know very well. He was in the MLS before that with Houston. And again, a huge prospect back home in Venezuela. He came to the MLS and he played a lot his first year. Then the next 2 years, he didn't play much. And last year he came to us with Oakland, and he understands the game model, the way we want to play. And he fits very well into the character that we want in the locker room.
Great. Next two that I've got on my list here, we know very well, Darnell King and Kev Lambert. So it looks like you're choosing to play Kev as a center back rather than a defensive midfielder.
Yes, so Darnell and Kev, two pillars for us, two players that are so important on and off the field for what they represent, who they are as players, and who they are as persons, most importantly. They represent our community very, very well, and they're two leaders for us in the team. It's interesting because both of them are playing a bit out of position because they haven't really played the position before. We've been using Darnell King as a center back as well, and also Kev Lambert. If you ask me, when you look at this roster, if there's something that we have is versatility and flexibility. And this is what we wanted to have in the roster. And Kev and Darnell gives us both. Darnell could play as a wing back, as an outside back, and Kev could play as a center back and also as a midfielder. We're very, very happy with both of them. I actually think I've said this earlier in other talks and interviews. I think Kev could be a top level center back internationally. When I'm talking about this, it's not just MLS, it's not just with this national team. I truly think that if Kev puts in the work, he could go to Europe and play in Europe as a center back.
Amazing. Next on the list is Eddie Munjoma. So he comes to us from North Texas SC. Tell us about Eddie.
Eddie, I spoke with him on the phone a few times before bringing him in. It only took me 60 seconds to see how important he was going to be for us. Is a guy that has awareness, even though he's at a young age. He has MLS experience, and also is someone that has been having to fight challenges and fight for a spot for the last 2 years from a team in the MLS and in North Texas that is technically gifted, that plays a similar style than we do. And Eddie just fits to perfection to the way we want to play. And also the character piece is so important. This kid leads by example, and he's very, very happy and hungry to be here.
Where do you see him playing, Juan?
Eddie's played as a wing back for us, but also he has the ability to play anywhere in the front three if we need it. If we play a back five, he could play out wide. If we play a back four, he could also play out wide. So again, versatility and flexibility.
Great. Then we've got Babu Jai. So Babukar, I went to the preseason game over at Grand Canyon University, and I didn't see him on the field. And then in the first game, he wasn't on the field either. So is that because of injury?
Yes, Babu had an injury, and thankfully he was able to gain minutes last game. And this was the first minutes he's had all year because he didn't play in the preseason at all. And we're very, very happy to have him back. We know how athletic, how fast he is, how vertical and dynamic, and the way we play. You know how much I want my outside players to be and have those characteristics. So I'm very, very happy to have Babu back.
Great. Then we had John Stenberg from Northern Europe, and he was with us for a while. And the word on the street is that he had visa issues, and that's why he had to go back.
Correct. So John, sadly, he didn't even make it to the U.S. because he had some stuff at the embassy where they're still working on his visa at the moment, and we're trying to get him here whenever he's available. So if John's visa becomes available soon, he'll be with us. If not, we'll wait for him after the summer window and try to have him here with us because he'll be a very important piece for us.
Great. And then we've got Henry Uzo from Nigeria.
Uzo is so dynamic, so fast, so vertical. This is a player that also very hungry. And this is a kid that that wants to win and has won in the past as well, playing in Europe. And again, very, very happy to have him. I think there's a player that the fan base is really, really going to enjoy watching at home.
Great. We've got Daniel Krutzen from the Netherlands, but he's spent most of his playing career in the U.S., is my understanding.
Yeah. So Daniel, kind of like a bit like me, half of the family from Netherlands, the other half from Belgium. Daniel played in the U.S., studied in the U.S. Then he went to Canada and played in Canada for a few years where right away, he became one of the best center backs in the league and one of the leaders and a team captain for his team. He's won the league last year, and this is the guy that is one of our team captains, and we're so happy and lucky to have him because of the way he plays and also the character that he brings in every day.
Great. And I think it's from Las Vegas Lights, Mohamed Traore.
Yes, you're right. So Mohamed from Las Vegas Lights, but he was on loan there because he was with LAFC. So he's an LAFC player that is on loan with us. I believe 21-year-old, dynamic, fast, technically gifted, left-footed. This is a guy that we see as a center back that also gives us the ability to play as an outside back. And again, fits the mold, fits the way we want to play, and is very, very hungry and wants to win. And it's coming from an environment at LAFC that they've won last year, and he understands what it takes to win.
So he's a left-footed player. You're playing him on the left side. Is that always your preference?
Yes, for him, yes, especially for center backs. If we have to and if we have to choose, we'll prefer to play the lefty or the left center backs on the left side.
Gotcha. And Channing Chaston's back with us.
Yes, so
tell Channing. Tell us about Channing. Can we expect to see him in our next game?
We will see. Channing actually dressed last game and he was in the 18. I love Channing. This is a kid that I know since I was the assistant coach over here. He came here on trial and he was with us for a month. And sadly, Channing's had some injuries last year that slow him down a bit. And now this year, he's going to have competition because he has a lot of players that we brought in, like Uzo, like Eddie, that we already mentioned, that they have experience at the highest levels. But this will be good for Channing also, for him to push, to overcome challenges and keep learning, because Channing is still at an age that he's young. And I think the kid has something to prove as well.
Great. And then just to round out our defense, and this is our 12th defender, by the way, is Jackson Conway, comes from England, played with Atlanta United with MLS. So tell us about what he's going to bring to the table.
Yes, so Jackson is a young guy. You guys are going to see he plays a little bit higher up the field. You're going to see him as an attacker, but being a big boy, people sometimes think he's a defender. You guys are going to see him on the field. He's a big boy. He's young. He comes from an environment that is very competitive, an environment that have won in the past in Atlanta. He's had top coaches in his career with Tata Martino, with Frank de Boer, with Gabriel Haynes, and now with Gonzalo Pineda is coming from Seattle. So this is a kid that is definitely going to be able to help us. He scored 11 goals last year playing for the Atlanta United second team. So is a kid that I truly think that with minutes under his legs and a lot of work, he's going to be able to give us a lot of happiness with goals.
Awesome. I'm not sure why I had him listed as a defender. So you're saying
I missed it too, because when I looked at the list, I didn't see him there.
Okay. So we'll be looking forward to him in the as one of the forwards. In midfield, we've got Emil Coelho. He's been with the Los Angeles LA Galaxy, San Antonio, Sacramento Republic. And Juan, he was a real standout player in the last few games. Really surprised at how well he's playing with us.
Yes, and I'm telling you now, I'm not surprised because I've watched him so much before we brought him in. And this is a player that truly fits the way we want to play. He's such a good teammate. He works so hard. He's a number 10, and last game we had to use him on the wing, and he had to defend and attack, and he covered so much ground, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to help the team and also to be on the field. And at the end of the day, that's all we can ask from players. Emil was a very high prospect a few years ago. He got drafted top 10 by the Galaxy in the MLS draft. And then he was sent on loan to San Antonio, and then San Antonio, he went to Sacramento, which is two teams that I respect a lot and that have been successful in the past, but I don't truly think they fit the way he plays. And this is why I knew that with us, he was going to look a lot better than in his past teams, because the way we play helps him. And also the way we play, he's going to be able to help us a lot as well.
Yeah, I remember saying that to my buddies when I was watching the game. It's like, I don't remember him being this good in his last two outings with Sacramento Republic and San Antonio. We got Carlos Harvey. Carlos Harvey, he scored a goal for Panama just last weekend. And what a goal it was. It was incredible. I'm so happy that Carlos is with us.
I'm so happy that Carlos is with us. This was also a transfer. So it speaks high volumes of the level of commitment that the organization and Phoenix Rising have with the roster that we're building and how we're thinking ahead and we're thinking for the future. Carlos Harvey is our player. We purchased him from Galaxy, and we're very, very lucky to have him. There's a guy that is versatile, that could play as a center back, that could play as a midfielder. As a center back, he defends very well, but he gives you a clean build-up out of the back. And then as a midfielder, he covers so much ground, and he's box to box, and he also has the ability to score. So I think Carlos is a very well-rounded player that is going to help us out. And we also going to have to help him get better, because this is another kid that I truly think he should be playing at a higher level. And with a lot of work and games this year, hopefully he has the opportunity to move on.
Great. I get chills just thinking about him scoring that goal for Panama. Yeah. That was insane. Also in the midfield, we've got Renzo Zambrano, a Venezuelan like you, but he's also played with Portland Timbers. He's played in Europe with Armenia. He's played around a lot, playing in the center. So tell us about him.
Yes, Renzo, listen, we talk about winning mentality. We talk about character and also someone that fits the way we want to play. And that's definitely Renzo. Renzo was able to win with the Timbers when he was there. So he understands what it is to win as well with Coach Gio Savarese. They won their conference, and then they lost the final versus Atlanta of Tata Martino that year. I do believe that Renzo, with 4 years in Portland, I think he played three finals. They won one conference. They won one MLS next tournament. Not MLS next, MLS back. That was COVID year. And then they lost the final to Atlanta. And I think they lost the conference final to Sporting KC, if I'm not mistaken. So this is someone that is used to playing at a high level, competing and also winning. And then he goes to Armenia, and then they win the championship in Armenia as well. And he ends up playing Europa League and then pre-Champions League last year. So this is a player that we have a lot of high expectations. This is someone that we know he's going to be able to help us a lot. And every week that passes, I can see how much more he's getting used to the league and to the team. And I think this is also someone that the fans are going to love watching at home.
So when he played in that final against Atlanta United, there would have been two Venezuelans on the team, one on each team at least, with Jose Martinez. Yes, it's been a proud day for you.
Yes, Joseph Martinez and Renzo, which is funny because we were watching the semifinals, and when we saw that Atlanta won and that Timbers won, the first thing I did was I texted Joseph and I said, can you get me tickets to the final? And he said, how many? He got me the tickets, and we went with the family, and it was incredible because then after the game, he even got me to the locker room, and I was with them with the whole celebration with the champagne, and it was unbelievable.
What a year he had. That was insane. It was incredible.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Coming back to Phoenix Rising, Maryvale's own Jose Andres Hernandez. So he was with you in Oakland.
Yes, Jose, what a player. What a human being. Someone that feels so happy and proud to be in Phoenix and playing for Phoenix. Soon as we came in, we kept in touch, and he told me, listen, it's my family is from there. It's been my dream to always play for Phoenix. And if there's a possibility, I would love to go with you guys. And as soon as we had the opportunity, we didn't think about it twice. We're very happy to have him. He's going to be a huge asset for us on the field, but also off the field. This is someone that leads by example. So I love Jose. I'm grateful and thankful to have him with us. And I am sure there's another player that the fan base is going to really enjoy watching play.
Yeah, we love having him here. And it's clear that he is giving 110% when he's out on the field. Let's talk about Gabby Torres.
So Gabby, last year we were looking for an outside player that could be dynamic, that could be vertical, that was technically gifted, and Gabby landed in our desk. We have a data analyst that it's in another country, and he works for us, and he's always looking at numbers and players that fit the way we want to play with the data. And Gabby was one that in the USL had very, very high numbers on the way that we wanted to play. So that's how Gabby was identified. And then we had the possibility to bring him for the last six games of the season, I believe. And listen, Gabby in those six games participated directly in more than six goals. He scored a couple of them. He dropped a few penalties. And then he also had a few assists. So we can say that Gabby very well earned a spot in this roster. And again, this is someone that leads by example, someone that his wife last week was, 39 weeks pregnant, and he still traveled with the team. And it was important. He couldn't dress last game because he had to travel back from San Diego to Phoenix at 8 p.m. at night on Saturday because his wife was going into labor. So it's someone that we love, we're lucky to have, and someone that definitely the fan base already knows what Gabby's going to bring to the table.
Great. So we're real human beings here, not just talking about the games. So tell us, is he a new dad?
Yes. So so his wife, Maria, they have a daughter named Anna already. And now a baby boy came. So it's a family of four now. And we're very, very happy to have him with us in Phoenix.
Awesome. Congratulations, Gabby. Let's talk about Federico Varela from Argentina.
Well, Fede is a very high prospect, someone that played in Spain in first division. He played in different countries in Europe in first division at a very high level. This is someone that has a very high soccer IQ. Technically, he is so gifted, and he also fits the way we want to play. We're very, very lucky and happy to have Fede with us. And little by little, this is another player just like Renzo, that it's adapting to the league because it's going to take an adaptation period. I always said it's not. I've seen very, very good players come to the league and they don't adapt. It's not an easy league. The USL is tough. It's a tough league because of the travel, because of the stadiums that you played, because of the intensity and the pressing and how games are. So it takes players that come overseas a bit of time to adapt. But once they do, I think Fede and players like Renzo, like I was saying before, these are players that are that could be playing also at a higher level. And they're here with us right now, and we're very happy to have them.
Amazing. So our last midfielder, Carlos Sangiano, he was with us last year. And what's remarkable about this season is that when Danny Trejo scored, he went over to the sideline, grabbed Carlos's jersey, and held it up for the cameras. That was really cool. It tells us that the team is gelling. These guys care about each other.
Yes, now I think you got it right, spot on. These guys care about each other. There's love in this squad, and that's only after. That goal was after only 6 weeks together. Carlos is a player that didn't see a lot of minutes last year because I truly think the team played differently. It was more of a direct style, transitional, and a bit more of more athleticism now. We built a team that is a bit different. We're more possession oriented. We focus more on the technical ability and also the IQ of the players and the soccer IQ. And Carlos is a guy that reads the game so well, that is technically gifted. Yes, he's not the strongest guy or the tallest guy on the field, But guess what? I don't look at size. I don't look at colors, nationalities, ethnicity, absolutely none of that. All I care is if the kid can play and he fits the way we want to do things. And I've said this after preseason, Carlos Anguiano was our best player of preseason, our best player. And sadly, on the first week of the first game versus Charleston, he got tackled and he landed with one of his teammates, and both arms were kind of like wrapped up, and he had a tiny fracture on his rib. Mm-hmm. So it's going to keep him away from the fields for a little bit. We should have him back soon. But it was one that the whole squad was feeling for Carlos, because he was truly, truly at a very, very high level on training and in playing. And we all felt it because he's a good teammate. He's a good player. Whether he plays or doesn't play, he's always supporting his teammates and he understands his role. So we were all hurt in that week. And this is something that Carlos earned. He earned the love of his teammates. And that's exactly what we want, absolutely, out of all of our players on the roster.
Well, I feel for Carlos with the rib injury. You know, when you hurt your hand, it's just your hand, right? When you hurt your foot, it's just your foot. But when you hurt your ribs, you feel like you're going to die because you can't breathe. You're wondering if you're having a heart attack. So, Carlos, get well soon, bro. We're looking forward to seeing you back on the pitch. Our forwards, Manuel Arteaga.
So Manu is a player that starting at the age, very young age, at 17, he was purchased by a first division team in Italy. I think it was Parma. This is a kid that has been involved in youth national team process with the 15s, 17s, and U20s. He's played in Europe in multiple teams. He came back to Venezuela where he's won league titles, and he came to the U.S. to play for Indy 11. So this is someone that fits the way we want to play. It's the most important thing about Manu that I always mention is that when you have a nine, the first thing, obviously, you want your nines to score goals. Manu has the ability to score goals, but also not all nines have the ability to be influential when they're not scoring goals. So when Arteaga is not scoring goals, you're going to see him how he was last weekend or how he was in Charleston. He's playing passes forward. He's warning out defenders. He's tackling defenders. He's pressing. He's forcing mistakes. He's opening up spaces for other teammates to attack those spaces. And sometimes these are things that not everybody sees when they go to the stadium, because they just see a nine, a striker, and they just think, okay, he has to score goals. Yes, absolutely. Nines have to score goals. But what I always say and what I'm always looking for and seeing is, do we have nines that when they're not scoring goals have the ability to influence the game? And we definitely do with Manu. So we're very, very happy to have him here. And I'm looking forward for him to start scoring goals, because I'm telling you, man, once this kid starts scoring goals, you guys are going to enjoy watching him.
Awesome. Danny Trejo was probably the biggest signing, at least the most well-known name that came to us over in the preseason. So we're delighted to have Danny. Tell us what your thoughts on Danny.
Danny is a top player in this league. There's a kid that is so hungry to keep getting better and wants to go to a higher place that allows him the opportunity to play at bigger venues. And Danny definitely has the ability to do that. When I spoke to him, he told me what his dreams were. And I told him that I wanted to hear what were his dreams, because I wanted to know if I was going to have the ability to help him get there or not. So Danny is very happy to be with us in Phoenix. He's someone that leads by example as well. It's someone that he transforms once the game starts. And then you see it. He has fire in his eyes. And is someone that understands his league very, very well. He has the ability to score. He has the ability to assist. He has the ability to influence the team in positive ways on and off the field. Danny is one of the best players in this league. And I'm looking forward to being able to help him. And then he can help us in order for him then at the end of the year to be able to reach his individual and collective goals.
Yeah, Juan, last season, he seemed to have like a wingman in Cal Jennings, who's now at Tampa Bay Rowdies. The two of them would just dominate plays. And I'm just wondering, I'm looking to see if he's going to find a wingman that he has a similar kind of relationship with this year. We'll see. Last on the list that I've got is Erickson Gallardo, also from Venezuela. So tell us about Erickson.
Yes, this is going to be one of the fastest players you guys are going to see in this roster. It's so vertical, so dynamic. being able to influence the game and the offensive side so much by creating goal scoring opportunities for himself or his teammates. So again, very lucky to have a player that was involved with the senior national team of Venezuela all last year, a player that has won in the past in Venezuela, and someone that Toronto FC bought him less than 3 years ago, and they pay a very, very high fee for him. So we're bringing him here with the intention of getting his best level back and get him at the highest of his performance level. And if we can do that, there's going to be a player in this league that it's going to be very, very important for us.
Amazing. So just to round out our roster, we've got four players on academy contracts. Liam Mullins, who's from Dublin, playing as a forward. Santi Hanus, who's a defender. Efe Tobo, who's a midfielder. And Joel Torbic, who's a midfielder as well. So is the idea that they're here for a year and then they go off to finish their high school, finish college, whatever?
Yes, absolutely. Liam and Santi are both Art Academy products from Phoenix Rising. They've been with us since day one. And I've always said, I think that we should provide a clear pathway within our academy to the first team. We have to make sure that we keep influencing, motivating, and creating opportunities for young players in the city of Phoenix and in the state of Arizona to be able to make it to the professional level. And that pathway needs to be cleared. And then Joel and Efe are two kids that are from the Barca Academy. That this is another thing that I said on day one is we should create real relationships with clubs that are close by. We have to create strong bridges in which we're all supporting each other and helping each other. At the end of the day, to me, it's more important to create a relationship than to create a rivalry among clubs. And this is what we've done now. Now, in two games that we've played, we've dressed three academy players versus Charleston. Liam, Joel, and Efe were sitting on the bench. And Efe saw less than 10 minutes in that game. So he made his professional debut. And then versus San Diego, we had Efe and Joel on the bench. So you've seen now that we're not afraid of utilizing young talent as long as a young talent earns it and deserves the opportunity to be there.
Very cool. I've got a few questions from the fans on Facebook. Abraham asked me to ask you what you consider a successful season.
This is a great question. And at the end of the year, that successful season for us has to be a season in which, first of all, we develop a clear identity, an identity in which the fan base feels a connection with the team. When they go to the stadium, they could see their identity reflected on the players. And then the vice versa, when the players are on the field and they're competing and they look to the stand, they see their identity reflected on the fans. That's success. Also, then by doing those things, it's going to allow us the opportunity to then start competing. And with the individual talent that we have, we're going to make it a collective strong muscle that allows us the opportunity to compete. We want to make it to the playoffs and then take it one game at a time and see how far we go. We all came to Phoenix because we want to win. We understand what Phoenix represents. We're an organization that we're not hoping to win. We're expected to win. And we understand that very well. So to answer that question is we want to make sure that we have a strong regular season that puts us in a good situation to go to the playoffs. Hopefully we can host some home playoff games that allows us the opportunity to play in front of our people and then take it one game at a time to try to make it as far as we can.
Right. Is the Open Cup important to us, Juan?
Huge. Every game we played as we're competing is going to be important for us. And you guys are going to see that very clearly in 2 weeks when we play our first Open Cup game on Wednesday night. We want to compete. We want to win. We want to make it as far as we can because we also want to compete versus the best. Mm-hmm. That's a goal. And that's our goal. We want to compete versus an MLS team and we either want to host them or we're going to play them at home. And if we do, we want our people to travel and we're going to have to compete versus the best. And that's what we all want.
Yeah, I'll travel anywhere for that. Yeah. And that's April 5th. I can't wait for that game, our first Open Cup game. James on Facebook asked, And you're going to have to interpret this yourself, Juan. On a scale of 1 to 10, how Ted Lasso are you?
Oh, wow. This is a good one. So I would say that whoever's watched the show, we all had a bit of Ted in us. That's what I would say, either one way or the other, because he is, his levels of empathy, his levels of sometimes even awareness, but trying to act like he's not aware of things. And then for him also is the importance of what I told you earlier about living and enjoying the moment and the journey. And those are all things that I've taken me personally from the show. And sometimes it's also those things of understanding that, yes, life is important and we're competing and that's important, but there's also bigger things. I mean, and it's the relationships that you're building. It's at the end of the day, you do have athletes and you have soccer players in your team, but at the end of the day, they're persons first, they're human first. So I'm a fan of the guy. I enjoy the show because sometimes it's just, I mean, it's when you take a bit of seriousness from life in a sport that we have and it gets so serious, sometimes when you relax, good things happen. So I honestly wish I had a lot more of Ted Lasso in me. I don't think I have a lot, so I'm going to say a 5 or a 4. But sometimes I wish I could have a lot more than me, because the guy's living life properly. He knows what he's doing.
Okay, we've got a serious tactical question from Tori on Facebook. And he's asking, is it a concern that our backline / our keeper has a majority of our possession so far this year? And why so much focus on building out of the back?
That's just our identity. We want to make sure that we can absorb pressure. If our center backs have the ball and our goalkeeper have the ball, that means that the other team is either going to have to press you or they're going to have to sit in a mid block. If they press you and our center backs have the ball, that means that they're going to be stretched within 60 or 65 yards. And when they're stretched is when we want to exploit the spaces in between the lines. Obviously, we want to sustain possession with a purpose, and sustaining possession should lead into breaking lines, and then breaking lines should lead into creating chances towards the opposition's goal, so goal scoring opportunities. If we can do that, then we're being successful in the way we want to play and do things. If we're just sustaining possession and we're not creating chances, then we're not really doing things properly. I do think versus Charleston, we struggled a bit doing that, and we got a lot better versus San Diego. Versus San Diego, we were able to keep almost 70% of the possession in San Diego's field, and then that led to creating, I believe, 16 shots. And out of the 16 shots, 9 of them were inside the box, and we have to get better now at shooting more on target and making it more difficult for the opposition's goalkeeper to make saves. But if we could play a game, again, last game, I was not happy with the result, but I was happy with the performance. If we could play a lot more games like we did last week and keep getting better, we're going to be okay this year.
Great. Jose and David on Facebook, they both want to know, who is the captain?
So we have 4 team captains: Darnell King, Kev Lambert, Daniel Krusten, and Manuel Arteaga.
So who wears the armband?
So if Darnell's on the field, Darnell wears the armband. If Darnell is not on the field, the next one in line is Kev. Then after Kev, we have Daniel. And then after Daniel, we have Manuel.
Wow. So the U.S. national team, they took this approach under Greg Berhalter. Is that where you got the idea? Or has this been something that you've been studying and has maybe proven successful for you?
Yes, I think so, a bit of both. I think there's roles in the culture of the locker room that needs to be respected by the technical staff. It would have been very easy for me to just step in and say, you're the team captain because I have a great relationship with you and you're gonna protect me as a coach and blah, 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 and move on. That's an easy call. But what I told the players was that I wanted to involve everyone in the discussion and the decision on who the captains should be. So I had the players vote for 2 captains each. I wanted to see who they think and who they wanted to be represented by. I explained to the group what a team captain should be for them and was for me, which I said a team captain should be the right hand of the players and the right hand of the technical staff. A team captain should be a bridge between the locker room and the technical office. A team captain should be someone that it's able to demand out of his teammates, but at the same time, be able to encourage. And a team captain should be someone that understands how important delivering a message is, but also how important how you deliver that message is also. So after explaining to them what a team captain was and the importance of the team captain, I said a few other things. They voted, and I wanted the players to have a voice on who was going to represent them. And we just then compared all the votes. We counted the votes, and the players chose some players, and we chose other two as technical staff. And now we have a group that it's a very strong leadership group, in which among them, they can lead, they can demand, they can push, and then they can also, you know what I mean, make sure that we all on the right track.
Awesome. I love that idea. Final question comes from Brandon on Twitter. And he says, now that we've had a look at San Diego, do you have any major adjustments planned for the home opener?
No, absolutely. I think when we watched the game over it, and even when I stepped out of the field right after the game, I mean, emotions are high, but I knew right away that the scoreline didn't reflect the performance that we had or what the game had. I think we controlled many phases of the game, but there were two phases of the game that we didn't control, that it was the transition moments, either defensive to attacking transitions and attacking to defending transitions. If you see the goals that they scored on us, it was in three transition moments that it could have been avoided. And also, I think we created some transition moments when we stole the ball from them in build-up moments that we could have been more aggressive and intense going forward in order to finish those plays. So again, we still have some work to do. It's been only 7 weeks that this group is together. We have 17 new players. San Diego had 18 returners, and they've been together for 3.5+ years. So it's different processes, and it's it wouldn't be fair to compare them. And where we at after 7 weeks is, I can guarantee you that we're in a good spot. We're going to keep moving forward. The team needs minutes together. The players need minutes together, and it will click. It will click, and when it does, it's going to be beautiful. For the home opener, we will adapt, and some things that we have to adapt, we will work on some things that we need to work on, and we hope that we can put then a very good performance like we did last game that now leads to a very good result, because that's what we want. We want to make sure that we give back to our fans and in this home opener that supported us in Charleston and supported us in San Diego. I think they deserve a win.
Well, Juan, I was going to ask you for some closing comments, but I think you captured everything in a nutshell there. It's been fantastic chatting with you, getting to know you, getting to know how you built this squad and your thoughts on the players and the season. So just sincere thanks, Juan, and we are going to have a fantastic season. I just can't wait for the home opener.
Thank you so much. Now, I appreciate you providing this opportunity and this platform for me. This is so important. I want to be as close as I can to our fans and our supporters. And it is so important for you now, for all the people in social media that provide bridges for us to understand the importance of a transition time, to understand the importance of a new process, and that we have to stay a bit patient until this clicks. Like I said to you, if there's something that I've learned, is that good things take time. Where we're building, it's going to be very, very good, but it's going to need a bit of time to solidify what we're building, making sure that we have a solid structure in which we can build. And then I'm telling you, we can all enjoy it together.
I believe.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Juan.
Thank you now. Have a good one.
Okay, Phoenix Rising family, there you have it. A nice mix of veteran and new players. I like our chances with this squad. I like that we have plenty of depth in the back and in midfield. I'll be back next week with part two of the interview with Juan Guerra. You won't want to miss it. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend. And if you can rate us on your podcast platform, that helps us spread the word. Thanks for listening. Go Rising!